Hey, it's the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And my special guest today, Joe Dunham. Welcome, Joe. Glad to have you in here, Joe.
Thank you.
Yes. And Joe is going on 93. Got a birthday coming up next month, don't you?
Right.
Yeah. And Joe, you're still living on your own, driving, taking care of yourself. That's pretty cool, Joe. I like it.
I count the days.
Now, Joe, did you grow up here in Jersey County?
Yes.
Yeah. Where were you born at? What town or what area?
In a little log cabin north of Fielden, where Dale Devney owns the farm now.
I'll be darned.
That's where I was born.
In a log cabin.
In a log cabin, the 25th day of July in 1933. I made people very happy. My mother and father were the happiest people in the world.
Yeah.
They didn't know where their next dollar was coming from, but they had a son.
All right. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Not at that time.
Yeah.
I was the first.
Okay. Had a son. And the son was important back in those days, weren't they?
Very much so.
Yeah. Why was that?
Well, Dad's folks had girls, but I was the first son that was born in the Dunham family of Dad's folks.
So
that was pretty important, too.
Yeah.
That was.
But I kind of figured living on the farm, it was nice. It's nice to have girls, but it's nice to have boys, too, because
you
could put them to work.
Well,
you know, they can work on the farm.
That's right.
Know, and help carry on the farm. So, yeah, so you were born there. Did they have like a schoolhouse or something in your neighborhood?
About a mile and a half from school. Pleasant Hill. I spent 8 years there.
And on Pleasant Hill Road? School Road?
Pleasant Hill School. It's on Pleasant Road.
Right, yes.
There's two Pleasant Hills.
Okay.
The one out here, they couldn't call that Pleasant Hill School Road. It's just Pleasant Road. But it's the old schoolhouse. It breaks my heart when I go by. It's caving in, but it's still there.
Yeah.
And you
had to walk a mile and a half every day to get school?
For 8 years.
Yeah. And was that hard, walking a mile and a half?
I didn't think it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just something to do. I mean, hey, that was, I had to go.
what was it like being educated in a one-room schoolhouse? What do you remember about it that sticks out for you?
It was interesting because the older students helped out with the younger ones.
Yes.
And the teacher taught all eight classes, all eight grades. So your time was, and there was very little homework. It was biggest part all it was done at school.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like today with the computers and such.
Uh-huh. And probably really kids, when they got home, they had to work. I mean, they had chores to do, right?
You better believe it.
Yeah. What kind of chores did you have to do when you got home?
I had to get in wood. Mom, she cooked on a cook stove with a wood stove.
Uh-huh.
And the wood had to be split just right so she could get it in the wood stove. And that was my job, to split that wood fine enough that she could get it in so she could cook it.
Even as a young kid, how old were you splitting wood? Like six or seven?
7 years old,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Splitting wood every day.
My dad gave me a little axe, about a 2.5-3 pound axe.
Yeah,
and that was my job. Yes.
Well, as you got older, did you have other jobs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you
have to milk cows or anything?
No.
No.
Dad did the milking, But we always had a garden. Hey, we had to live on what we raised. And it, you didn't run to the store and pick up something.
Yeah.
I mean, you lived on what you had on the farm.
And I see.
Can you imagine no electricity, trying to keep milk fresh,
yeah,
cheese fresh? We had a cistern.
Mm-hmm.
Mom had ropes, and she hung these containers down in that cistern to keep the keep it fresh so we'd have milk and cheese.
I bet your mom was a pretty good cook.
The greatest.
Was she?
The greatest.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
After, when I was about 2 years old, I had twin sisters.
Ah, I see.
And that was our family. I thought it was our family.
Uh-huh.
For 12 years. And then I guess Dad, he got a better job. He got a farm of his own. He was farming himself. And I've heard that I was going to have a brother.
Yeah.
And Ralph was born.
Okay.
You probably know Ralph.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then when I was in service, I heard that Mom was pregnant again.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But then Deborah Haig was born. And that was our family.
I'll be darned.
And we, one of the twins, May and Faye, but May had a bad heart.
Oh, okay.
And she was in the hospital. And they, at that time, open heart surgery was in its beginnings, and it wasn't a sure thing. But they give her a 50-50 chance, and she said she didn't want to go on like she was. So she took the chance, but she didn't make it.
Oh.
So, and she left an 8-year-old daughter. And her twin sister raised that little girl, so...
So you went on to high school, right?
Right.
And high school, was it in Jerseyville?
Yes.
And you had to make your way there. How'd you get to high school?
Well, the first 2 years, I stayed with my folks here in town. And they finally got a bus running down the highway through Fielden. And it was about 2 miles from home to there.
Yeah.
I rode a bicycle from there out to the hog barn or the horse barn there, parked my bike there and waited, and then come home on back and forth.
Yeah, probably ended up being a pretty long day, wasn't it, with all that? No big deal?
All in a day's work.
Okay. And then... we had the Korean War start, and you had to go in the Korean War. Or what happened there? Did you get drafted, or what was the story?
No, like I explained to you, I had my diploma in this hand, my draft card in this hand, and I wasn't interested in going in the Army and crawling through the mud and sleeping in a pup tent. So I enlisted in the Navy.
I see. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Joe Dunham with me today. Joe's knocking on 93 and doing quite well. So you enlisted in the Navy to avoid going in the Army, okay? And then did you make your way over to Korea?
No.
You didn't?
No.
No.
I spent my basic training in at Great Lakes in Chicago. After basic training, I came home for 2 weeks. And this was all in 1951. And at the end of 2 weeks, I had to go back to Chicago. And the girl that I was eventually married.
Yeah.
On Sunday after church, before I had to be back in Chicago Tuesday, So we had a short honeymoon.
Oh, so you got married.
We got married, yes.
Ah.
And I don't know, but people that lived back then, we came and stayed in Jerseyville on our wedding night.
Yeah.
In a hotel. I borrowed Dad's car.
Which hotel? That Colonial Inn Hotel?
Well, the one that was down uptown.
Yeah.
Yeah. And got up the next morning, and there was 6 inches of snow. And I had to get from Jerseyville down north of Fieldon, where Dad lived. So we got down to that Kruger Hill, and we didn't make it up.
Oh, boy.
So we didn't really have any heavy clothes or anything, and I was in my service clothes, and I had to walk from there about a mile and a half or so down, get Dad to come up and get us up the hill. But on top of that, that night we got an ice storm.
Yeah.
But Tuesday I had to be down Alton to catch this next to the last train to Chicago. And Dad put chains on the car and drove that old car from home to Alton to get me on the train to go back to Chicago. I got up to Chicago. They had 18 inches of snow up there.
Oh, my.
Luckily, I didn't stay there too long. My orders came in, and I was headed to the Caribbean.
I see.
They shipped me to Norfolk, Virginia, where I got on a supply ship, and we started south, stopping at all the bases and dropping off stuff, and I wound up in Trinidad.
I'll be darned.
I spent in a patrol squadron. I spent 2 years in Trinidad, yes.
That's a big change from Jersey County, wasn't it?
Hey, I was in the Navy.
Yeah.
I expected anything.
Uh-huh.
And
did you like Trinidad?
Huh?
Did you enjoy being in Trinidad?
Hey, it's a foreign country, and the people are different.
Yeah.
Yes. They had a nice base there, but I liked the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was warm the year round. There was no glass in the windows. Nothing but screens.
Oh.
You didn't need it.
No. I'll be done.
So it was a change, but.
So were you stationed there most of your career?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Then what
for
happened?
2 years, I got on a seaplane. I was an aviation ordnanceman.
Yeah? What's that? What do you do
with that? Well, I shot the guns, loaded the bombs and such.
Okay.
I mean, this is all training. It's just like it is in wartime, except,
uh-huh.
And we were on patrol searching for Russian submarines. We never did find one.
Yeah, but you were looking.
But about every other day for a while, we were flying 10 hours a day. So I had about 1,500 hours in the air when I got out of the squadron down there.
I'll be darned. Now, what were you supposed to do if you found a Russian sub? Just report it or zero in and try to shoot it down or something?
Well, it was quite a process. If it was submerged, you dropped a ring of what they call sonobuoys.
Yeah.
And the guy on the radio man, he could tell by the noise of that submarine which direction it was going. We operated with American submarines, practiced,
mm-hmm.
So we knew what was going on. But it was my job. Those submarines had a deck gun. And it was my job, when the plane was coming in to bomb it or whatever, was to keep those people away from that deck gun.
Not let them get to it.
I set up in the nose of the plane. I had twin 50s up there.
Twin 50s.
Calibers.
Twin 50s. Twin 50 caliber machine guns?
Yes.
Whoa.
An old boy that never had anything bigger than a 22, the squirrel gun. He sat behind twin 50s up there.
I bet that was a riot to shoot that thing, wasn't it?
I read the book. I knew what was going on. But I never had, I could tear it down. Uh-huh. I could build it up. I could clean it, whatever. But I never shot it.
You never got a chance to shoot it?
It come up one day. They sent me down to the ammo dump to pick up ammunition. And I thought, what's this for? And I loaded those guns in the nose of the plane. And they said, we're going to have gunnery today. So we went up. We dropped a smoke light in the ocean, went out. Turned around, come in, and this sight was quite a thing. It was electronic, and it had a little diamond there, and this diamond was big. And as you got closer, it kept getting smaller and smaller. And when it got about right, they told me, fire at will. So I kicked off two of them 250s. I missed off just to the side a little bit. And I thought, well, I'll just shift that over a little bit. I did pull both triggers and blew that smoke light out of the water. And did I get... That wasn't what I was supposed to do.
What were you supposed to do?
I was supposed to shoot around that light like they had that... So we had to drop another light, and I come back in. But after that, that got old. And matter rays were thick out there.
Oh, yeah.
As we were flying, they would give me a coordinate, and I'd have to swing and shoot. And that was pretty good.
I got
a kick out of that.
Yeah,
But that is the only time that I ever fired those 250 caliber machine guns. I had to take them home and clean them up. And
Did they kick pretty good when you were firing them?
You wouldn't believe how that shook that plane.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
And the brass and the belt went down a funnel and went down and into the galley and rattled on a deck, metal deck plate. Yes, the noise, we had earmuffs, but the noise was pretty tremendous. And that, yes, those twin 50, they shook that plane pretty good.
Yeah. Well, good, good. That's something else. So, you got out of the service.
Well,
and what year did you get out?
Well, I just spent 2 years in that squadron.
Yeah.
Then I transferred to Jacksonville in a fighter squadron.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
And when I was there, I come home and got the wife and took her down there with me. And we spent time, the rest of my time there. But while there, they took the USS Intrepid out of mothballs. And they had a shakedown cruise. And they put my squadron on that ship. So I spent time on the USS Intrepid.
Oh, I'll be darned.
And we went to the Caribbean, and it was all you just practice. I mean, just like in service time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they sent off planes and whatever. But I didn't enjoy that shipboard stuff too much.
You didn't?
Luckily, they needed a detachment in Guantanamo, Cuba.
Yeah.
Over on a little island over there where they had an airstrip.
Yeah.
Where if the planes had trouble, they could come over there and land and repair them before they went back out on the ship. And I was lucky enough to get in a detachment to go over there. We had to stay in Quonset huts that they had in World War II. But I stayed there the biggest part of the time. I didn't have to spend too much time on the ship. But.
Well, that was good.
Well, I enjoyed that.
Yeah. So you got out of the service, came home. and start, would you start doing as far as work farming again? Or
no, I did very little farming. I helped Dad, but the biggest thing was, well, I guess just find something to make a living.
It was it hard to find jobs back
yes.
then? Yes. And what year would that have been? Mid 50?
55. Yeah.
Not a lot of work going around.
No.
No.
But in the meantime, when we come home on a discharge, my wife was pregnant.
I see.
And I don't know if it was a trip home or what, but we lost my boy.
Ooh, sorry to
so
hear that.
That was a shock.
Sure.
And I tried and tried for another, and I wound up with four girls. So I was being punished, I guess.
No, I'm sure. I know you got four beautiful girls.
Yes.
And they're, it's nice to have those girls. They probably take care of their dad, don't they?
Well, Dad has to measure up.
Yes.
I have one that comes and checks on me at the apartment, and if things are ship-shape, I get told about it.
She holds inspections, is that it?
Yeah. I think she's got a chart somewhere where she's checking stuff off to see if I'm able to stay there alone.
Okay.
And when it gets called, I can't. She's probably got a place for me someplace else, and it's probably not in her basement.
Well, I think you're doing great.
Well, I can't complain so far.
Yeah.
But I just live from day to day. I don't plan ahead.
So we're getting close to being out of time, but what are some things that you do, or what do you think is the secret to your success for living so long and being so active and having it together? What would you say?
I've worked all my life.
Yeah?
When I worked on the farm for Dad and all, I worked hard. We didn't have all this modern equipment and stuff.
Right.
We did the scoop shovel.
Right.
Unloading corn and stuff like that. And it was a job. And the same way, we burned wood. Mm-hmm. And when we finally got a chainsaw, until we got a chainsaw, I cut wood with that axe, poles, and then we bought a buzzsaw in and buzzed it up. And that was what we kept warm with in the wintertime.
So you think working and being is the key?
I believe that an active life, yes. I have never smoked.
Yeah?
My drinking a little bit in service, but very little.
Yes.
And now alcohol doesn't say anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to be a good Christian all my life.
Yes.
And I don't believe that hurts a thing.
No, I don't think
and,
so either.
I believe that the Lord has something for me to finish. Until I do, I think He'll keep me going.
Well,
that's my theory.
Well, I think it's a good one. And I'm so happy to have you in studio today to share your life experiences. It's been very enjoyable. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for coming in. And I know you got stuff to do. You're probably going fishing or something today.
Well, no? It's going to be pretty hot. I doubt if I do too much fishing until it's late this evening.
Okay. All right. Well, Joe Dunham, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a treat. You take care.